Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Derek Shelton told Pittsburgh baseball reporters that Colin Moran will be the guy at third. It's not an open competition. John Parrotto, Pittsburgh's MLB insider, joins us right now. John, what do you make of Moran? To me, he's a very generic third baseman. I don't really see a lot of big potential in him. I think he kind of is what he is. How about you?
I would give the exact same answer. Generic is really a good way to describe him. He's not a bad player, but he's not a good player. And I don't think he's a winning team, a contending team has to do better than that at third base. But I also understand why at this point in time, the players, as much as they might say they want to contend, know better and feel that it would be best served not to start Key Brian Hayes' service time clock. And that's so play Colin Moran as a placeholder for a part of one more season at least.
John, how is the arbitration clock thing going to work this year?
You know, that's a good question, and there hasn't been total clarity on this, especially for a young guy like Key Brian Hayes, who has zero major league service time. I assume, and again, I'm only assuming because this has been something that really hasn't been discussed by anyone in baseball, at least publicly. I don't know if it's going to be each day he's on a major league roster is just going to count as one day, or if they're going to prorate it over a 162 game schedule. My feeling is probably it'll only count one day for each day you're in the majors. So if you look, if they start Hayes at third to begin the year, that's 60 days, and that would give him enough time that after 2 years of in the big leagues, he'd be able to go to arbitration. If you wait a month and wait until September to start playing him, then you have that extra year of control before he can go to arbitration. And I'm sure if that's the case, the Pirates are going to wait until then to play him, because I just don't see them giving him that fourth year of arbitration and the money, the large money and increase that would go with it if they don't have to.
John, so you're saying that arbitration manipulation, that was not just a Neil Huntington thing, that's something we should expect probably from this regime too?
Yeah, I'm sure that Ben Cherington will do the same. And again, I think if it were a different situation where if they were a contender, if they were close to winning, I think they might not do that as much as they did in the Neil Huntington era. But I think a lot of that comes from above the general manager's office, too. I'm sure ownership wants to keep the payroll and wants to keep each player's salary as low as they can for as long as they can. So, I know Neil Huntington took the bullets for that, and certainly some of it was him to blame, but also I get the feeling Neil was doing what his bosses told him most of the time, being Bob Nutting and Frank Coonley.
John Parrotto with us here on The Fan. John, is Will Craig just a bust? Is that a bad first-round pick? You're supposed to hit your first-round picks. And I don't really see Will Craig in their plans as of right now. What can you tell us about his prospects with the Pirates?
You know, that's another guy. You know, generic would fit with him too. He's not a bad player. He's not like a total non-prospect. But then again, he doesn't have a whole lot of star potential, and that's what you're hoping for. Like you said, Andrew, you know, in the first round, you want to get somebody that's eventually going to make an impact for you in the major leagues, just not maybe be a bench guy or pinch hitter. And I really don't see Will Craig as an everyday player in the big leagues, and it's not like he has skills to be a utility man. They moved him off third base after 1 year in the minor leagues. They think he can, is limited to first. They put him in the outfield last year for a little bit. I was told that he looked so bad in the outfield during just pregame drills when they were just trying to get him acclimated in the outfield that they ended the experiment because they didn't think he could play out there at all. And, you know, I mean, it doesn't take a great athlete to play left or right field. You just got to come close to getting some balls now and again. So, yeah, I mean, it was a head-scratching pick from day one. I know there were very, very few scouts I talked to, and then you look at Baseball America, MLB.com, the places, the outlets that rank the draft players and you know, rank them in the top 100. Nobody really thought he was a first-round pick other than the Pirates, and I know it was a head-scratcher. He put up good numbers his last year at Wake Forest, but they also play in an extremely small ballpark down in Winston-Salem, and it just seemed like this was not going to work from day one, and it really hasn't. He may get to the big leagues. He probably will get some big-league time, but I think as far as an impact player, the chances are very minimal.
John, how about catcher and center fielder? You've got stopgap Band-Aid players in 2020. Big picture, who do you think the Pirates hope fills those very important positions up the middle?
Well, I think the catcher of the future is not in the organization right now. I don't see anybody in the farm system that stands out to me as even a guy that you can say, well, at least he'll be an okay starting catcher in the big leagues. And, you know, center field is kind of the same thing. You know, I'm not so sold that Jason Martin, who will be back at AAA, or would have been back at AAA, I should say, in Indy, if there would have been a minor league season. It seems to me that they don't see him as the center fielder of the future because if you look at how they're assigning these 60-man pool players, he's going to, like, the B camp in Altoona to work out. He won't even be with the big league club. You know, the main thrust of the guys on the big league club that will be working out at PNC Park starting tomorrow. So I'm not so sure the center fielder of the future is in the organization either because you start coming down – the line, I'm not so sure Travis Swaggerty is the real thing. I know the Pirates are high on him. They drafted him number 9 a couple of years ago. But a lot of scouts I talk to think he's going to be a very ordinary big league player. So maybe technically he's the center fielder of the future, but I don't know if he's a guy who you can count on to be a key cog in a lineup for very long.
John Parrotto, Pittsburgh's MLB insider here with us on 93.7 The Fan. John, do you think that Mitch Keller is just the latest in the Tyler Glasnow, Charlie Morton, Garrett Cole chain where the last Pirates coaching staff and managerial staff weren't able to get enough out of him? Do you expect him, now that there are new pitching philosophies and new people in charge, do you expect him to take a big leap in 2020?
I think he could. I really do, Andrew. I think what he was lacking last year in talking to him is you know, he didn't have a whole lot of confidence. I mean, for a guy who was a highly touted prospect, usually those guys come up and then they have at least a little bit of swagger, even if it's a little bit of a fake swagger, just so. But he came up and he looked kind of like the deer in the proverbial headlights when he got called up. He just seemed overwhelmed. He did start to pitch a little bit better as the season progressed, and he did average over a strikeout an inning. So, I mean, so the stuff is there. He can strike big league hitters out. I think he's going to be better, dramatically better, maybe. But I think clearly he's better than he showed last year. And I'm sure the Pirates are hoping that he's gotten past that nervousness of the first time in the big leagues, and he'll settle in and start to live up to the talent that he has.
John, I wonder with the way things ended here, look, where Neil Huntington and Ray Searidge land on their feet. Because Hurdle could have been in San Diego, but he turned it down. Coonerly's working for his buddy Manfred. You ever wonder what's going to happen to Neil Huntington after taking this team to the playoffs for the first time in 20 years?
You know, I got to believe that Neil Huntington, I would not be surprised if he wound up being a GM in another place. I mean, there's no urgency on his part. He gets paid by the Pirates through the end of next year. But, I mean, you know, I know he got in Pittsburgh, he kind of, things got stale here the last few years, and I understand why they let him go. But on the whole, you've got to look at the job he did, Andrew. I mean, he took over a franchise that was a rundown, didn't have much talent at the big league level, had nothing in the farm system, you know, tore it down to the studs, built it up, made the playoffs 3 years in a row, won 98 games the last year. And, yeah, you could blame him for not going out and getting that big piece of the puzzle that might have pushed the Pirates over the top. But, again, I'm not so sure he had much money to work with coming from ownership. So, yeah, I think Neil has a good reputation in the game, and I think, you know, you may see him back in the GM at some point. Maybe first he comes back as a special assistant or, you know, a special assignment scout for somebody, things like that. But I think he'll be back. I really do. I think, you know, I think he's a good baseball man. I think he proved he could win here. I just think things went a little stale and things got away from him the last couple of years, and it was time for a change.
How about Uncle Ray?
I think I'm not so sure Ray wants to keep coaching much longer. You know, Ray's not getting a little long in the tooth. He's had some health problems. You know, he had the back surgery the year before last. And, you know, I mean, I think possibly you can see Ray with a job. I think eventually. I'm just not so sure if Ray wants to go through the grind of a long 8-9 month season when you count spring training all the way through the end of the year. So I would say opportunity will probably prevail itself somewhere. I just don't know if Ray would take advantage of it or decide to stay retired.
John, thanks for joining us on Nigel Morgan's birthday.
It is. It's time. Flesh's birthday, and it really should be a national holiday.
All right, John. I'll talk to you later. All right, pal. See you. Thank you.
Hey, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Yep.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.